You're listening to Live Alive Podcast, a weekly dose of motivation right in your back pocket. I'm Jordan Johnson.
And I'm Anissa Johnson.
We're your hosts. Every week, we share thought-provoking conversations created to inspire you to bring the best version of you into everything you do. Think of us as the guide as you journey towards realizing your vision of successful and fulfilling life. Whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, building a business, or dreaming of being a stay-at-home parent, we're here to help you cultivate passion, purpose, and motivation in your everyday life.
All right. Today we're going to talk a little bit about desire and wanting more. This one has just really been on my heart in particular because it's relevant for me, and I think that allowing myself to desire has created a lot within my life that I'm extremely grateful for. So maybe you listen to this podcast and you find the content extremely inspiring, motivating, but you can't quite put your finger on how to implement it. Maybe you look at your life and you say, well, you know, all of that's great, Anissa and Jordan, but I'm perfectly content with where I am. I'm content with my life, and that's great. But I think a lot of times we find ourselves in a situation of contentment, which is actually kind of similar to stagnancy. Mm. And I believe that desire is what stirs up when we're stagnant and gets us moving and gets us going. So I'm super excited to talk about that because I think a lot of times we delay our desires. We put things off. Maybe you've done this. I think, you know, on so many ends of the spectrum, we can put our desires off. And it can be big things. It can be small things. In particular, for example, maybe you tell yourself, you know, you've been working a lot of overtime or you're expecting a bonus at work. And you tell yourself, hey, like when that check comes through, I'm taking myself on a trip. I'm taking myself on a trip. I am treating myself. But then the check comes in and there's always this thought that's like, well, maybe there's something more responsible
I can do. I knew you were about to say that, yeah.
Maybe I can put it towards debt. Maybe I can put it towards my savings. All of those are noble causes and definitely should be a part of your financial plan. But the fact of the matter is you did say that you wanted to go on a trip. Mm-hmm. And you said that when this check comes, when this thing happens, then I will do this other thing. And a lot of times, even in that moment, when we delay our desires, in that moment where it's contingent on something else happening. So when I get the check, then I'll go on the trip. But then you decide, oh, actually, I'm just going to hang on to it. I'm going to put it in my savings. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is that like when something happens that you've desired to happen, which was getting the money, then you're not using it for something else that you desire, which is going on the trip. And all of that's feedback to ourselves. You know, we talk about this a lot about how we're always sending signals to ourselves. And I think delaying desire is also a way that we send signals to ourselves. And it doesn't have to be big like that. It can be something small, like, I don't know, re-upping your underwear, buying new bras, ladies. We all know you have the favorite bra. But we delay these things. And these are necessities. These aren't big purchases. Yes, they're underwear and bras are probably more expensive than we would like for them to be, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not that expensive. We wear them every day for the most part. So I think we delay our desires in big ways and we delay them in small ways. So I really just want to talk today about just like allowing ourselves to desire and opening ourselves up to the possibility of desire and what that can mean for us.
Yeah, this is going to be huge. It makes me question what might be wrong with my underwear, but that's another another topic for another time. But yeah, to really get into this, I think it first comes to mind just the thought of like how do we recognize a delay though, like in our desires, and if we have recognized a delay, like what levers should we or can we be thinking about to alter that potential habit? Like what are the red flags that give us some indication of like, man, I've been putting this off or not allowing myself to feel or accept or want that.
Well, I think before you can recognize the delay, you have to recognize the desire. And that goes back to, you know, opening up yourself to allowing yourself to desire. So if you recognize or you say that you want something or you want some area of improvement, something that could make your life better or improved in some way, shape, or fashion, and maybe you've identified it in passing. Maybe you just, it would be nice if I had this. It would be nice.
Sounds so like subconscious.
Yeah, where it's just like, oh, well, that would be nice. But then you just brush it off because maybe you haven't identified it as a necessity. And I want to be clear that like when we're desiring things, it can be extra. It can be something that just is going to enhance your quality of life. It doesn't have to be a necessity. And so you recognize the delay, to get back to your question, Jordan. You recognize the delay when you continue to run into the dissatisfaction. And so I think this even could go back to, gosh, we'll have to find the episode reference for you guys. But we talked about changing behavior, and we talked about, you know, becoming aware of your habits, interrupting them, and then reframing them. I think the same framework could be used for desire, becoming aware of the fact that you even have a desire, interrupting, delaying it, or dismissing it and saying that you don't need it, and then reframing it by saying like, well, what if it, you know, what if I did have that? What if I did get the espresso machine because I like to treat myself with espresso? What if I could make that happen?
What really stood out to me, what you were saying there, was like that continued dissatisfaction of not having the thing or having that accomplishment or having that progress. That feels huge. And that almost feels like an annoyance in a way that is going to continue to be there, or comes up as an annoyance louder and louder and louder as, you know, you kind of continue to sidestep it a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a buzz, like when a bug is like in your ear, and you're like, oh my gosh, get the bug out of my ear. And it's very annoying. It continues to happen, but becoming aware of it and playing with the possibility. I remember we've talked about this before, about ordering our groceries, which is now a habit for us, which is now something that we, it's a part of how we or how we get our groceries, is we order them. And for weeks, maybe months, we went to the grocery store and we were just like, oh my gosh, so much, it's taking so much time. Are you gonna go to the grocery store? I'll go to the grocery. Whoever was going to the grocery store was like sacrificing, like, oh, I'll go to the grocery
store. And it turned into both of us going, because you were like, you didn't want to feel bad. It was like, I sent them to the grocery store. Yeah, got him.
So then, you know, we decided to finally say, you know, there is a possibility to get our groceries ordered and delivered to our door. What does that look like?
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, resolving that pain point in a practical manner. But then every week without fail, I am beyond grateful when the groceries show up on our doorstep. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Yes, Lord.
My life is so much better because we did grocery delivery.
Well, and that's so interesting too, because you said something there that like really jumps out to me too, that we investigated it, interrogated it. We put it off of like not even entertaining it for a long time. And I think that's one part about that too, that some of the desires we have, they may be feeling like it's extra, or the feeling like that's a not a necessity or a splurge, but we haven't even cracked it open to interrogate
it. To look at it.
And proof in the being in the pudding, in this sense, for the groceries, like, we interrogated and it turned out to be, for most part, financially net-net.
Exactly.
And we were looking at it, and at least I was like, oh, that's going to be an extra cost to have those delivered, et cetera. So let's just try to keep, you know, pushing through the physical grocery run.
Yeah. And let's say there is a cost. I believe there is a delivery fee. I think it's $10. Maybe it's more. I don't know. Whatever.
Of which you're using gas going to the store.
Of which you're probably using gas to go to the store. But then it's also the time. We'd spend 2-3 hours at the grocery store on a Sunday. Then we'd come home, cook, because we cook in batch. So I'll take my 2-3 hours back.
Yeah.
And I will, in exchange for my gratitude of having my time back, I will pay somebody an additional fee to deliver my groceries.
Yeah, that time is huge. That time is huge. So we talked a little bit about the, we've dubbed it an annoyance, that buzz in your ear about that continued dissatisfaction about this progress, this thing, this desire having not been met. Not listening to that, what do we think that does to our identity?
Oh, man. Well, it could do a lot of things, and it probably depends on the person. Ultimately, I think that when you're not in alignment, when you're not doing the things that you want to do, mm-hmm. one way or the other, you're sending signals to yourself that, like, you don't really keep your word. Like, you say you want to do this, but then you're not doing it. You're telling yourself that you don't keep your word. Mm. And I think that there's a decrease in confidence that happens yeah. with that. There is also a maybe thought around your self-esteem or your worthiness to even have the desire. You tell yourself you're not the person who has these things. I'm not the type of person who gets my groceries delivered. Mm-hmm. Like, whoever yeah. that type of person is, but you've probably judged this person who does these things. And so therefore you've canceled yourself out of being in a consideration to do that. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Yeah. It's almost like you've begun to no longer be able to see yourself, assuming that you could in the first place, but be able to see yourself in the same vision as that desire.
Right.
Yeah. That one feels like it hits home for me, because you said that and it kind of felt a little needle prick, figuratively speaking, on my skin there. That, like, I definitely feel like it's a ding at times on my self-esteem and confidence when I don't do what I said I was going to do. Mm-hmm. It's a real agonizing thought that go through to, like, oh, I said I was going to do this. I planned to do that and I didn't.
Yeah. Well, it's your integrity and your yeah. belief in yourself. So, you know, we this is something we've probably been hearing since we were kids. Like, well, if you just believe in yourself, then you can do anything that you want to do. And a part of believing in yourself, or believing yourself is what I'll say, is telling the truth to yourself.
Whoa, time out on the play. We definitely have to run that back, because I think that that word tweak is has larger significance than I think we may be giving it credit to. Mm-hmm. Believing yourself and believing yourself
right.
are probably two very different things.
It's a reframe for sure.
And I would argue that we probably should be focusing on the version that you just said.
Right, believing yourself. And so I think that's where confidence comes from. So when you say you're going to do something, or you say you want something, or you're going to have something, or you're going to make something happen, then you either follow through or you don't, mm-hmm. right? And when you follow through, that's a signal back to your brain that says, like, okay, well, when Anissa says she's going to do something, she does it. I believe her.
Right.
And the opposite is true when you don't, right? So yeah. if I say I'm going to do something, I say I'm going to make something happen, and then I don't, then the next time that I say, I want to go on this trip this year, I want to, you know, buy a house, whatever it is that you want to do, your brain's going to be like, I don't believe you, because you tell me you want to do things all the time and you don't do them.
Yeah. And therefore you can't believe in yourself.
Exactly. Because
you don't believe yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Like, that's so huge, man. That one, we could not gaze over. I'm like, let's bring that one back really, really,
not
really
the
quick.
Rewind noise.
The rewind noise was free. By the way, if anybody wants to cut that into the splice it into
wow,
their own audio,
that's royalty free.
There you go. There you go. I believe in myself. There you go. Royalty free. Exactly. This is a difficult thought that surfaced for me just now. Like, journeys are part of achieving some desires, not all desires. Like,
sure.
if I truly need to go get new underwear, I could go do that right now today. Right. That's not the case for every desire. Like, it may be steps, it may be a sequence, it may be a journey. In my mind, I'm wondering, how do we balance patience with this aspect of, you know, delaying allowing ourselves to have desires, delaying allowing ourselves to have goals? It's a tough one for me. I see the smile starting
question.
To crack across your face as my brain's churning on this.
Yeah, so that is the balance in desire. Because a lot of the reason why we delay our big desires is because in one hand you hold desire, in the other hand you hold disappointment. I'll say that again. In one hand you hold desire, in the other hand you hold disappointment. And what I mean by that is that inevitably when you desire for something, there is the vulnerability that you will be disappointed.
Mm, yeah.
Ooh. Right? So how do you balance allowing yourself to desire and, you know, being patient along the journey? We've said this before, that's gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
that is total gratitude and expression of gratitude of your current situation. Like being grateful for what you have and where you are and expressing that. And I think that a lot of times when we say that we're expressing our gratitude, we think that that's synonymous with staying in contentment, which it is. But I think in this particular, on this episode, we'll be using contentment in relation to kind of stagnancy, right?
Yeah.
So what gratitude does, it allows you to look around and say, there are all these things, all these blessings that I have received in one way, shape, or form. And there are more blessings that I would like to receive. Mm-hmm. So then you say, there are more blessings that I would like to receive. And the gratitude and counting your existing blessings is evidence that you get what you want.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's staying in gratitude, but also like showing, using the gratitude, the list, maybe you make a list, I make a list every day of things that I'm grateful for. And a lot of things that are now on my gratitude list were on my desire list, were on my prayer, list, right? Yeah. So you, when you write that down, and I think it's good to write down your desires as well, then you start to see how things from your list of desires and things that you wanted is making its way to the things that you're grateful for. And it's a loop. You just keep, you keep feeding into that. Mm-hmm. You continuously are grateful for it. I'm continuously grateful for when the groceries show up on our doorstep. I don't believe that there will be a week that I'm not like, oh my gosh, that is so cool that the groceries just showed up on our doorstep. That's so cool. And I'm so grateful for the time that I got back. And so that's, I think, how you would handle that. And it's a practice. It's hard.
I like that. Yeah, no, I like that honesty. That's huge. And the gratitude that you mentioned is what feels like produces some of the forward motion. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, like we're talking about complacency as like in kind of like synonymous with stagnation right now in this sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't want it to come across as like, oh, be grateful for, so just stay.
Right.
Like grateful, so just sit in there. You're grateful, you're safe, you're grateful, you're safe. Don't go anywhere else. And that's not necessarily the, I shouldn't say necessarily, it's not the route to the desire, right? It's not not only the point, but it's also not the enabler of achieving or acquiring the desires that we're talking about.
Yeah. So let's camp out there though for a second. Like let's camp out with gratitude and having a posture of gratitude for a moment, because I think sometimes we overlook that. And I think a lot of times that is what we do, is we look at our circumstance and we're trying to embody gratitude. So what we do is we say like, well, this is good. Look at all these things that I have that I'm grateful for. So this is good. So I don't need any more. And we cap our desire. Yeah. And I believe that when you are embodying gratitude, like when you're truly just in a constant state of gratitude, what you're doing is you're calling in more. Like you're in a constant state of gratitude, which to me is a reflection of good stewardship. So if you're in a constant state of gratitude and you are being a good steward of your blessings, God's going to give you more. Like he just is. And not to say that you can just sit back and do nothing and he's going to give you more. You have to work for it and you have to pursue it and you have to take the necessary steps to get there. But gratitude takes your brain to a different place, right? So Philippians 4:8, I'm preaching, says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything of excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So I think it's like when you have your thoughts set on things above, when you have your thoughts set on good things, on positive things, and you couple your prayer with gratitude, that's also in the Bible, you come with a posture of gratitude while you're asking for more, while you're asking for a change in circumstance, while you're asking for another blessing, while you're asking for the breakthrough, you're coming with thanks, right? And I think that's all Bible. And I want to be very clear that when we talk about opening yourself up to desire, it's not for selfish reasons. And your desire should be in alignment with all those things that I just read in Philippians 4:8, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. When you're thinking about those things and your desires align with those things.
This is perfect. This is perfect. I'm glad we camped out there. I want to move us along really, really quickly here. Just a point, which you teed up maybe on accident here when you said the word selfish. I do wonder, is there a tinge, or I wonder, because I hear and get from the world's look on this or view on this that we can see in any form of media, there seems to be like a tinge of selfishness or ego maybe on desires or going after desires and goals and stuff. How do we look at that health from a healthy perspective? Like, is there a healthy amount of ego presence or self focus that needs to be part of that? And I lob that up as a question that can either be smacked down to absolutely not, or disgust in some fashion.
No, I'm not disgusted by it. I think it's a valid question. I think it's a lot around the reason why we delay our desires in the first place. We have, for whatever reason, found nobility in not desiring.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's worth asking yourself the question, if that's something you struggle with, if you feel like there's nobility in not desiring, or there it's selfish to have desires, I would look at or play with the idea of how does getting your desires, the things that you want, the experiences that you want to have, improve you as an individual, and therefore influence and improve the people within your sphere of influence. We talk about live alive, right? If I am maximizing my life, if I am living out my life, then I am an inspiration to others. That's one of my aspirations. That's one of my affirmations is, when I show up as the very best version of myself, I inspire other people to do the same. That manifests itself in, me going to get my hair done more often. That manifests itself in me dressing myself in a way that makes me feel my absolute best. And when I feel my absolute best, I show up in a way that is inspiring to others. And when people see something that's inspiring to them, then they move in an inspired action. And if I can make people move in inspired action, that's impact.
Yeah.
And I can't have that impact if I'm delaying and pushing down my desires, if I'm saying, oh, well, I don't need to buy new clothes. Oh, I don't really need to go to get my hair done that often. All things that I've said, by the way, these have been conversations that I've had in my head. These have been rationalizations that I've had. And I find that it doesn't have to be big, but it does. And it does happen small. It might happen. It might've been like I bought new underwear and that was like, oh, epiphany. I now can start living my best life. But when you live more, you inspire other people to do the same. And that's good.
It is. And I totally agree it is. And it feels more like a self-awareness to me than an ego, but a self-awareness towards a particular direction that you want to grow in and its impact on other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I didn't mean to tee up this point, but I thought about this as well when we were talking about this topic. But, God has a lot to say about desire as well. I have thought about, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how the Bible says that when you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes a heart sick.
It's heavy.
But a desire fulfilled is the tree of life.
Wow.
So when you stay stagnant, when you push down your desires, when you tell yourself that you don't want that, that makes you sick in a way. But when you are in a position to fulfill your desires, be it large or small, it's compounding. When there's a tree of life, that means that the life is growing on the tree.
Yeah, which is amazing and to think about and to ponder on. It in itself feels motivating, which kind of leads me to like one of the last areas of entertainer. And you started to tee it up too. It's the last one, I promise. Last one. Like what? We started down this road. I think it's exactly where you were, but I want to kind of dial it in a little bit of like, what's the potential outcomes of like not allowing ourselves to, you know, have desires that, you know, expand our future selves, not allowing ourselves to have goals and dreams that expand us in this way. What's the outcome of not giving way to that?
Goodness. I mean, you're playing small. And not only are you playing small, but you're shrinking yourself. And when you're shrinking yourself, you're having less impact. And we're all here to impact each other. Like, we're all here to influence and be in community and to lift each other up. And you do that when you're living your best life. One way or the other, like that's how you do it. That's how you do it. I think we've talked about complacency. We've talked about being stagnant. All of those things, that they don't lead to happiness. Like you're not happy. You're just content. That's neutral.
Yeah.
And I believe that, you know, we're put on this earth, and you know, if you believe in God, God wants people to look at you and see him. And if you're just like neutral, you're not happy, right? Right? That's not all those things that I spoke about earlier, like whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is noble, whatever is excellent. Those are all positive things. They're not neutral things. So I think that when you're living an inspired life and you're allowing yourself to desire and you're staying in gratitude, people look at you and they're like, what is it that you have? And then you can share with them. You can talk to them and it opens the door to conversation and it opens the door to inspiration and influence. And that's impact.
And I think what you said you can share with them. And I think that's part of it that's so big and significant in my mind is sharing. That the collective we, the collective us isn't benefiting off of you know, us delaying our desires and playing smaller or neutrality in that sense.
So I think we say all that to say that if you're feeling dissatisfied or annoyed by recurred dissatisfaction, the next time it shows up, turn your attention to it and open yourself up to desiring that thing that will make your annoyance go away. Play with the possibility that it's okay for you to want more and ask for it. Ask for it with total gratitude and then go after it. Make it happen. Thanks for listening to today's episode. We hope that it leaves you feeling inspired to actively pursue your goals and live alive, whatever that means to you. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell us what you think by leaving a review. Reviews help more people like you discover the podcast. I'm Anissa Johnson.
And I'm Jordan Johnson.
We'll see you next time on Live Alive Podcast.